News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Good morning and happy Sunday. I am Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and we are going to talk all things gardening today. Even though the weather has been super chilly, everybody's still busy out in the gardens. If you have a question for us, you can give us a call or send us a text. The number is 1-877-332-8255. Good morning, Rick. How's your weekend been so far?
Good morning, Brittany. It's actually been a beautiful weekend. So even last night I seen the combines are out in the field and mm-hmm. getting that crop in. A lot of them are bringing the canola in right now, which is great to see because it looks like we'll have a half decent harvest getting done on time in most areas of the province.
Yeah, everybody seems to be on track, which is nice. In some previous years, this has been obviously it's always the most stressful time of year, but people seem a little bit more relaxed about harvest this year, which is nice.
Absolutely. The only thing that sort of was a little bit different this year, I mean, we had one hard frost this year, and it was hard. It was around Saskatoon, it was minus mm-hmm. -6, and a lot of my ash trees, they normally turn a beautiful yellow color in the fall. Mine are just dropping leaves green right now.
So yep.
They got hit pretty hard, and all my flower pots got hit really hard. So it was a pretty killing frost. Even minus -6, if people covered the tomatoes, a lot of them told me they still got damaged. Because usually, putting a bed sheet over top of your plants usually can protect about 2 or 3 degrees. But minus -6, that was pretty heavy frost.
Yep.
That changed a lot for gardens.
Okay, so I have a random question for you. Just all of my pots as well in the back got hit. They're pretty much just dead. And yep. We also have a bed out in the front with hostas and stuff like that. Everything is looking really rough. Should I be trimming anything or taking plants out, or should I just leave it all there over winter? What should I be doing with all of the dead plants?
Well, your pots, what you could do right now is that in stores all around the province, you'll see grocery stores, hardware stores, lumber stores, garden centers. They all have the fall mums out right now. Mm-hmm. And the fall mums can take the cold weather. They minus -6 is a little bit cold, but they can take a few degrees of frost without being covered. And so take those old petunias out that got hit and the potato vine that got hit and looks all brown and rusty and change it into a fall color now. There's some plants that are starting to turn color. You can put some branches into it. You can put a little scarecrow into your pot, whatever, make it into fall and put a fall mum into it even, and just be able to enjoy your pots for a little bit longer yet.
Yep.
Your hostas, perennials, I like to prune my perennials in the spring.
Okay.
Because hostas, when they lay down flat, that actually acts as a little bit of a mulch for the plant. That's their natural way of protecting themselves for the wintertime, and then clean them up in the spring. As soon as the snow's gone, and you can clean them up in the spring, it's just better to protect them that way. Unless you want to cut them back now and then mulch them, then that's fine too.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good. All right, we are already getting tons of callers on the line, so we are going to head to Shelley in Saskatoon. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick?
I have a question about pruning my Autumn Blaze Freeman maple. It's four years old. We bought it from Dutch Growers 4 years ago. Is it too late to remove the two bottom branches? They're about 3 centimeters and 5 centimeters in diameter.
No, now is the perfect August, September is the perfect time to do that. So do it as early in September as you can. So do it soon.
Okay.
Otherwise, once you get to October, then you don't want to do it because it will bleed in the spring.
I will do it today now that I have your blessing.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, how close to the branch do I actually cut it? How close to the trunk?
That's a very good question. If you look at the branch, you'll see actually a collar, what's called the collar, little rings, where the branch comes out of the trunk. Okay. So if you're not sure what I mean, just Google it and just take a look at what pictures look like of the collar. Okay. And it's little bumps, little rings right where the branch comes out. You want to leave those little collars. You don't want to cut those collars off. That's where it really heals, okay?
Okay.
And so what you want to do is if you can, take those collars. If it's just how big of how many centimeters?
One is 3 centimeters and one is 5 centimeters.
Okay, so what you want to do then, as soon as the branch gets bigger, you want to take there's almost like either just a little round collar, or there's actually a definite little line that goes in toward the trunk, okay, of where basically the old bark sort of almost crumpled up, looks like, and it goes in toward the main trunk. And then what you do is you take that line, which goes in toward the trunk, and then you take the opposite direction, go away from the trunk.
Okay. So on the other side of the line kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Leave the line there.
Okay, leave the line. Okay, great. Yeah. And okay. Do I just use a handsaw for that?
Yeah, you can use a handsaw, but make sure you cut away from about 6-8 inches away from the trunk first, okay, at least.
Oh.
Make your first cut to take the weight off the branch so that you don't, as your branches get bigger so that your branch doesn't fall down and then rip the bark down the trunk of the tree.
Okay. And then I go back and kind of trim it around outside of that collar.
So this takes some weight. Even if it's not that big of a branch out farther, just take your pruners and cut the branch off first and then to take the weight off and then make a nice clean cut right next to the trunk.
Okay. One more quick question. So it is shaped funny because we did have to cut part of the top off after the first year because we didn't winterize it properly.
Yeah.
So I can shape it, and will this encourage it to grow up rather than out if I shape it now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Great. That's awesome.
And that's a very good, you talked about you didn't prepare it for, I want you to just explain to people what you meant by you didn't prepare it properly.
That's correct. Yes.
What did you do? What did you do last time that you didn't prepare it properly?
Well, the first year we were supposed to make sure all of the leaves were off, and we weren't supposed to water it in the fall, and I didn't read my instructions.
I wanted you to explain that to the other listeners, that there's a reason what you have to do with maples. You have to shut them down, and that means stressing them out right now and not watering them as much. Perfect.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, we learned the hard way, but it's coming back beautifully. So
perfect.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Shelley.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you have a question for Rick, you can give us a call or send us a text at 1-877-332-8255. I am Brittany Cafe here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you are listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I am Brittany Cafe here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. You can give us a call at 1-877-332-8255, and we have tons of callers on the line, so we're not going to waste any more time. Wendy in Saskatoon, good morning.
Good morning. I have a Dracaena spike plant that grew just beautifully over the summer, and I'm wondering if I can bring that in and winter it for next year, and if I can do that, how do I do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Dracaenas you can keep year over year, and the biggest thing you want to do is I would suggest that you wash it down, you cover the soil, and you wash it down really well with water first, and the blast it with a hard blast of water, try to get rid of it, because one thing Dracaena can have is spider mite, okay?
Okay.
So you want to get rid of the spider mite, and you want to hit it a couple times with probably insecticidal soap like Endol, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And just soak it. Like, soak it really good with Endol.
Okay.
And try to get rid of the insects. And then you can bring it inside and just put it in a cool place and water it maybe once a month. That's all you need to do.
Okay, so,
dry, but I want the soil to go dry, but not bone dry. So that's why once a month I just want to check it and then just give it some moisture, maybe once a month at the most.
Perfect. I don't have to cut the spikes off or
nope. Okay. Just leave them where they are. If you want, if there's some, around the bottom outside edge, if there's some brown ones and that kind of stuff, you can trim those off if you want because the brown ones might get moldy and that kind of thing. But other than that, just leave it as it is.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Wendy. All right, Dennis in Nipawin. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick?
I'm just trying to get my lawn prepped for winter, and I'm wondering how low I should cut it and also best time to put the fall fertilizer on.
Well, that's a good question. Right now, if the fall fertilizer should be going on right now. You can put it on any time in September. I like putting it on, and also right now you can still keep your lawn a little bit longer, but then once you get to winter time, I like keeping it at least about an inch and a half, so it's not too short so that it still has protection for the winter time, but not too long where it's actually going to lay down flat and actually get snow mold in the spring. Okay, so about an inch and a half is good.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks so much, Dennis. If you've got a question about prepping your yard or cleaning up the garden for winter, feel free to give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. Anne in Humboldt, good morning.
Good morning. I have a raspberry patch, a very nice one, but I also have a lot of weeds in it. I was wondering if I could use something like Weedex to kill the weeds, and would it kill my raspberries?
Yeah, it could kill the raspberries. The best thing to do with the raspberry patch is to go through and actually pull the weeds, okay, especially the annual weeds. If you could use Weedex, but on the perennial weeds like thistle and that kind of stuff, but you need to just go down with a little mister bottle and just slightly mist the leaves right up to the plant, the base of the plant, so that you don't get any drift at all, okay?
Okay.
And it's just a little mist. It's not soaking it, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then what you want to do is you can use also in your raspberry patch, use a product called corn gluten, or it's called bio weed in feed. And corn gluten is actually an organic, it's just a cornmeal type of thing. And it is actually a natural pre-emergent herbicide. So it stops the weeds from germinating. And I would suggest you putting it on in the spring.
Okay. And what was the name of that? It's corn gluten?
Bio weed and feed or corn gluten.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And you have to put it on as directed. If you put it on light, it doesn't work. If you have to put it on heavier than what the instructions is, but not lighter.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Good luck, Anne. All right, Mary in Regina. Good morning, Mary.
Hi. I have 5 Brandon cedars that are about 7 years old, and they look very nice on the outside, but I see that they're getting these small, light brown kind of seed pods or something, but on the inside of every one of them, they were very yellow.
Yeah, this time of the year, especially right now, you're going to notice pines and cedars, especially needle pines and scotch pines. The inside needles will turn yellow. That's a natural thing.
Okay.
On the inside of the, if you have to open it up and see the inside, there's no light in there. So that you always will lose some needles on the inside. But another thing that also with you got to watch for cedars is that they do get spider mite, and then that's an insect that works from the bottom inside, and they work up and out, and so they suck on the needles. And so if you have spider mite, and you need a magnifying glass to see them. So or otherwise, take a little branch with a white piece of paper and tap the branch on the paper, and you'll see these little specks moving around. They're very 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 tiny, and if that's the case, then you need to spray your plant. It's too late now, but with this kind of frost, they're starting to go dormant. But next June, then you spray them with Malathion.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks, Mary. All right, Peggy in Snowden. Good morning.
Hi, it's Peggy calling from Snowden. I have hostas plants, bushes, I guess. They're not plants anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about 3.5 feet high. And in 10 years, I haven't had any blooms and no berries. And I just wonder, is it something in the soil maybe?
What did you say?
Hoscap.
Hascaps, Rick.
Oh, yes. Hascaps.
Yeah.
Okay, hascaps. Are they in the full sun?
No. They're kind of like I've got trees on either side of my garden, and it's probably, and the hascaps are on the west side of that tree line.
Okay, so if they need, they have to, they like full sun, okay?
Oh, they do.
They love full sun. The hotter, the better. And
okay.
That's when they'll produce the better. If there's not much sun there, then they're not going to produce the flower that well. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
So you might, that's one reason why. And also a reason why they may not produce, do you notice any flowers on them?
No.
Okay. Yeah, then they're probably not getting enough sun. Because otherwise, if you also need two different varieties to produce fruit. Okay?
Yes, I have two different varieties, but
okay.
You also
have the two proper varieties, because some varieties don't pollinate each other, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so that one thing you need to check is that, you know, like you have to check which varieties you have, and then give the garden center a call, and then we can tell you which ones pollinate better with each other. But the main reason is they need full sun.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thanks, Peggy. All right, Faye in Saskatoon. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. We have a Japanese maple, and we had one for about 6 years, and in the fall we'd put a box over it and fill it with leaves, and it was great. It came back every year. And last year the voles or the moles got underneath our box.
Oh, yes.
So now we have bought a new one, and we love it, and we want to know how to overwinter it properly.
You know.
Okay.
You know, because you've done it for how many years you kept the other one?
Yeah, probably 6 or 7.
That's awesome. That's great. That's amazing that you got it to keep that long, because Japanese maples are tough to winter. They really are. And if you had 6 or 7 years, I'd just say keep doing what you were doing, because you were doing an awesome job.
Okay.
Just make sure that you put you're in your yard. If you got voles, put
yes.
the most traps out now, and put them in a box so the birds can't get at it, and put in the most trap, just a wooden trap. And put peanut butter with a craisin or a raisin on it, and you'll catch all your voles.
You know, Rick, we have so many of them that we didn't even put peanut butter on them. We set the traps out, and I think my husband caught 67 one year. But we've got them. We know them, and we actually have a vole trap now, so...
Yeah, so what you need to do then is then put a tree wrap around the tree, so on the trunk of the tree.
Well, it's a shrub. It's fuller than, like, it's not a standard, it's a shrub.
Then what you want to do is you want to get a wire mesh that has a fine mesh on it.
Okay.
And put it around the base of the plant and then inside your box, okay, so that the voles can't get to the trunk.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Faye.
Thanks.
Okay, and I have to share this little vole story with you guys. We've had voles in our backyard all summer because we have a playhouse, and they're living under there.
Oh,
and
yes.
This vole, Rick, it's my arch nemesis now. We finally got it, but first we set out the trap with peanut butter and a raisin, and it took the food. Then we re-put more food on, and it took the entire trap. It was dragging the trap around attached to its foot in our backyard. Tyler tried to get it with a shovel, and he just broke the trap, and the vole got away. It was an entire saga with this darn vole, but we finally got it. There, you got to be smarter than the voles, I guess.
Yeah, and they're a little bit larger than the mouse, and so you can see them and move around. In my garden, we used to go into the tomato patch, and you see them just scurrying out. So I know this year's going to be a bad year for voles. So make sure you get on top of that right now and get all the voles out of your yard.
And they dig up the lawn. Like, we still have tunnels in our lawn from that little.
Yeah.
Turd.
Yep.
Oh.
Nope. You want to get on that right now. This time of the year is perfect time of the year. They're moving in out of the grass areas and from underneath the sheds and moving into yards right now. So you need to get them right now.
For sure. All right. If you have a question, you can give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. You can send us a text as well. And we are going to get just a couple of those done before we head into the news. This one is from Doug in Saskatoon. I have strawberry plants in raised beds. What do I do to protect them in the winter?
Probably the best thing to do is put an insulated tarp over top of that whole planter. Depends how big the planter is. But normally what I like to do is inside the planter, I like putting styrofoam. So you could actually put styrofoam on the outside if you want to protect the frost from going horizontally into the planter to protect it. And then also mulch the top of the bed as well. Then you'll be okay. It all depends on how big the planter is, and they haven't said that in the text. So.
Yep. Okay, perfect. And let's do one more. This one's from Jackie. How do you prepare a new apple tree for the winter?
And nothing you need to do other than right now slow down the watering so that the leaves change color and fall off. Okay, that's the key for apple trees.
Okay.
They need to get ready for wintertime so slow down the watering right now. And then right around about the 20th of October or so, take some pails out there and give it one last good drink near the end of October before the ground freezes. But that's all you need to do.
Perfect. Sounds great. I am Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you were listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. We have got a pretty beautiful Sunday on the way to wrap up a great weekend. I am Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. If you've got a question about anything garden related, feel free to give us a call or send us a text. 1-877-332-8255. Right now we are going to head out to Aberdeen and chat with Boris. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick?
My question be, I like to put strawberries inside for winter to grow.
Yes.
How do I be moving them in?
You can. Are they in the ground or are they in pots right now?
In the ground.
In the ground. Right now, with the frost that we had, you can probably start digging them up now, and then so plant them up and bring them inside. They normally like to have a bit of a rest. Okay, so what I would suggest is if you pot them up, put them in a cool place, and leave them in a cool place for at least 1 month. Okay, and just so that, and water them just a little bit, but not very much. And then after at least about a month of just be having a rest, then bring them up into a place where you got lots of sunlight. Okay. And then you can start watering them more and start growing them, and then having the strawberries inside.
Is there anybody who has bees to rent to pollinate?
Well, what you have to do is you can actually just pollinate yourself. So what you have to do is you take a Q-tip and you have to go from flower to flower with the Q-tip. Okay.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right, very good. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Boris. All right, Wesley in Saskatoon. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I have some junipers. It could be a cross juniper cedar that I was given about a year ago, and they were out of the ground for about a week, and they were almost extinguished. I've been trying to revive them, and I've been watering them lots. I'm just curious, what else can I possibly do to help them along?
The only thing you can do is you can get two things. One, there's one called a root booster. Okay, it's a liquid root booster, and it has lots of different little acids in it, which helps get the root system stimulated and going again. Okay. And there's another product that's called Rage. It's made by a company called Dirt and Grow out of Winnipeg, and it's another company that's the other part of it's called Evolve, but it's called Rage. And this Rage is like a Red Bull is to us. It's like a booster, okay?
Yeah.
And if you want to give it some of that it helps host plants, it helps all plants. Just give them an extra little. It's like I said, it's like a Red Bull. It's like a super caffeine hit. You know, give a boost. And then that's a good way to explain it. And so it's called Rage, and it's made by the company called Dirt and Grow.
So root booster or Rage.
Yeah, either one of them, or you could even use both of them if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, Wesley. All right, Teresa in Macklin. Good morning.
Hi.
What's your question?
I have got a hascap chopped down, and I'm wondering how I can get rid of this root.
Is it easier to dig it up? Or you can, when the leaves come up next year, as the leaves up right now on it? Is there leaves on right now?
It's already chopped down and it had leaves on it, yes.
Okay. So what you can do if you want to get rid of it, you can actually spray it with Roundup, okay?
Just a herbicide,
or you can just dig the root out.
Okay. It is not going to grow up from that root anymore, is it?
Yes, it will.
Oh,
because
I wanted to put a raised bed on top of it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. If you put a raised bed on it, what I just do is put a, what you can do is right where that plant is, put some landscape fabric on top of it.
And that will keep it from coming
From coming up through it, yes.
And all I have to do, instead of putting Roundup.
If you cut it down now, there's no leaves, so you won't be able to use Roundup, okay?
Oh, okay. It would have to have leaves on it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it is. Yes, it's gone. And then next. Okay.
Yeah. Put landscape fabric over top of where that plant was, and then build your planter on top of that.
And so that, I mean, it won't come up in the planter then somehow or other.
No. If you put the landscape fabric, it won't come up in the planter.
Okay. Now, if I'm doing this raised bed, how do I start doing that?
Then you need to get some materials, whether it's brick or wood or whatever, and build your raised bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then put a good garden mix in it, which is basically 50% compost and 50% topsoil in it.
50 topsoil and 50 yeah. compost.
Or it could be a third, you know, peat moss, manure, topsoil mix. It could be a triple mix too, but just use a good, just ask for a good garden mix. That's what you want.
Okay. What else was I thinking about? Now I've forgotten already. Anything else I have to know?
Nope, that's about it. And then depending how big your planter is, yeah, put the good garden soil in it, and away you go. You'll be ready to get a garden going next year.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks so much, Teresa. All right, Sharon out in Neville. Good morning.
Good morning to both of you. Rick, I had spoken to you a while back about drying some corn seed from a variety that I can no longer purchase, and I tied them up and hung them, and they're for some time now, and they're well dried. Now, yep. Should I take them off the cobs now, or what should I do?
You can, if they're well dried, you can, yes. You can take them off the cobs now, and then you can store them in a paper bag or, you know, something you shouldn't put them in a plastic bag or anything like that. Put them in a paper yeah. bag or something like that so that they don't get moist, and then put them in a dry, cool location.
Or I could leave them on the cob till spring?
Yep, you could leave them on the cob as well, but you got to be careful that the cob doesn't start to rot, okay?
Oh, yeah. How do you take them off the cob? With a what?
Just with your hands. You can just take them off with your hands just very carefully so that you're not... Oh. They should almost be a little bit harder, okay, so that you don't damage the kernels.
Exactly, yeah. Great. Okay, because I've never done this before.
Okay.
So it'll be a first. And a number of my Dutch sets and Spanish onions rotted on the bottom part. Is this from overwatering?
Yeah, usually from overwatering, or it could be from an onion egg getting inside of them as well.
Okay, I think it's overwatering this time. With the
yep.
hot weather, I kind of made sure I got out there with the water lots.
Yeah, you best to stick your finger into the soil, especially around the rooted crops, and just make sure they need water rather than just go on just watering at random. You know, stick your finger into the soil and make sure it actually needs it.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much for the tip.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Sharon. All right. We are going to head to the text line for one quick question before we take a quick break. Is it too late to use nematodes for ants in the lawn?
No, you probably the ground's still pretty warm yet, so I would do it as early as can in September here. It'll still work. You have to wet your lawn first. So you have to do it before you turn the sprinklers off, obviously.
Yep.
And so you have to wet your lawn really well first, down at least, you know, 6-8 inches down. So you got to really water down deep and then put the nematodes on, put a little more water on. So you got to do that as soon as possible. But the ground is still warm enough. Yes, it would still work.
Perfect. All right. I am Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you are listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. We're still getting a couple of nice days here and there, but you can tell that fall is really on its way. So before we close out the show, Rick, is there anything else people should be getting ready right now for fall?
Well, right now, everybody comes to me in the spring, and I want to buy tulips.
Yeah.
Okay? And I tell them, you got to buy your bulbs in the fall. So
yeah.
You got to buy right now. You'll see in all the stores and the garden centers, there's fall bulbs. There's both tulips, daffodils, crocuses, and also your garlic you want to plant right now as well. You'll see them in the stores as well. So plant your fall bulbs. Now is the time to put them in so that they get rooted well for the wintertime.
Yep.
And then you have beautiful flowers come up in the spring. And then once those flowers are done, then you can have your annuals in amongst where those are, or perennials or whatever. So you have a good mix of flowers that come up in the spring. You have to plant them now. Just look at the instructions. You need to plant tulip bulbs at least 6 inches deep, and crocuses about 4 inches deep. So you have to watch what the planting depth, what it says on the packages.
Yep.
But now is the time to plant your fall bulbs. Get them in as soon as possible.
Perfect. Yeah. And you do the work now, and then by spring, it's basically just like this free little flowery surprise for you. It feels like you
yeah.
did no work at all.
Exactly. And it's really easy to do, and and just plant them in the garden, and you'll have, and it looks best when you put in groupings.
Yeah.
So just don't plant one here, one there. Put them in groupings, and you'll enjoy them first thing in the spring.
Awesome. All right. We have Mel on the line from Warman. Good morning, Mel.
Morning, Brittany and Rick. Boy, it's still a beautiful morning. We can have a coffee on the deck.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Okay, Rick, we, for my daughter's yard out here in Warman, we bought some four Swedish aspens and grafted lilac bush. How do she get them ready for winter?
Just slow down on the watering now.
Yeah.
And don't water them as much right now. Just keep them basically alive. And right now the temperature is dropping down, especially with this frost. The plants are really slowing down. I want the leaves to drop off these plants for the wintertime. That's critical. And then after that, that's all. Then what I like to do is like around the, like I was telling earlier, about the 20th of October, just take some pails out there because you probably got your water shut off, and just give them one last good soak, and then they're good for the wintertime.
Okay. She's also got about a four-year-old prairie crab apple tree that they planted in front of the house there when it was new. How do we get that ready for winter and prune it?
Same thing. You can prune it once on the apple trees once the leaves fall off this fall, or otherwise you prune it in the very first week of April next spring.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then. And we got hit real hard with that frost out here in Warman. Mm-hmm. My hydrangea bushes, they were covered, and I lost everything.
Oh,
so I turn the tops of the flowers off now?
Yeah, well, you can. If the flowers turn brown, you can just trim the flowers off, but don't trim the shrub until the spring, okay,
yeah.
until the last week of March or the first week of April.
Yeah, and I got one here, like, it's got a big stalk on it. Like, you always say to cut them about half down. Hokey cracky, it's one step away from chainsaw material.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you want to trim them in the spring because I like to leave all those branches to catch as much snow as possible, and then trim them back one-third to one-half in the spring, and you'll get way more flowers again.
Yeah. All right, then. Have a good day, guys.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, Mel. You too. All right. We have tons of texts to get through, so let's blast through some of these. This is from Chip in Regina. Is it too late to prune lilacs and those type of shrubs?
The only time you're going to prune lilacs in the fall is if they're 12 feet high and you want to trim them down to 4 feet high. You want to really give them a hard trimming. You wait till the leaves fall off, and then you trim them then. But if you just want to do a light trimming, never prune until after they finish blooming next June, because if you trim them now, a light pruning, you'll cut all the flowers off because they set their buds right now for next year.
Okay. Okay, perfect. This one is from Wayne in Regina Beach. Our water gets turned off at the end of September. I would like to give the trees a good final water. Is it too early to deep water them right now?
It's a little bit early because right now it depends on your area. Like if you have that hard frost, and it really started knocking the leaves back, then it'd be fine. But other than that, it's a little bit early. I know it's tough at the lake. You want to shut things down and get things going.
Yeah.
But I also, if you're down in the Sultan Brothers province, you want to be careful because they haven't shut down totally yet. And so you give them a good watering yet, that just gives them an extra little boost, especially if we get a little Chinook and we get some warm weather here yet. So, I mean, look what happened. It was only a few days ago we had move around the province, we had 26 and 30 degrees.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, this is another watering one from Rod in Regina. When you put on fall fertilizer, do you need to water it lots right after applying?
Yeah, absolutely. You just want to water it in. You don't have to water it lots, but you have to give it a good watering. Basically equivalent to 1 inch of water.
Okay.
And then you can put that down, and that'll just take the fertilizer down to the root zone, because what the fall fertilizers do is they actually promote the roots to harden up and to go down deeper, and that's what you need for the wintertime.
Okay, perfect. This one is from Chris in Langham. Good morning. We want to take a Cotone aster from 4 feet to 1 foot high. What do I need to know?
Yeah, right now Cotone asters, they're going to start pretty soon. They're going to start turning a beautiful red color.
Yeah.
So wait till they turn until October or the first week of November until the leaves fall off, and then do whatever you want. Trim it down to 1 foot. It's not a problem at all.
Okay, perfect. This one is from Jan in Regina. Good morning. Appreciate your program more than you know. I have roses to plant ASAP. One is a Morden rose. The other is a hardy climbing rose. Do you have any tips for planting and overwintering?
Yeah, just get them planted as soon as possible. Use a rooting horn booster, root booster, or mics or whatever you have, get them rooted in. But then for the first winter, mulch them right over top with leaves or peat moss or bark mulch, but mulch them right over top of the plants and out at least 2 feet on each side of the plant.
Okay.
And just mulch them heavy for the first winter, and then they'll be fine.
Perfect. All right, this one is from Ted in Regina. I'm thinking of building a raised flower bed. Can I plant perennials in this, or will they freeze being that close to the wood?
Yeah, if they're that close, depending how big the planter is, but you can put a styrofoam, if you're building it, put styrofoam insulation on the inside, and then put your soil in there, and that'll protect the frost from going into the sides. Then that would be the way to do it if you can do perennials. If you've already got the soil in it, you either take the soil out, or you can put styrofoam for the wintertime on the outside of the planter, but then you have to look at the styrofoam all winter.
Yeah.
But that's what you have to do to protect them.
Okay, perfect. This one is from Kathy on a farm near Davidson. A large bluff of poplars was bulldozed last fall, and this year there are hundreds of new 3-foot poplars.
Yep.
I'm wondering if I can transplant some of these. If so, how do I go about it?
Yeah, what I suggest you do is transplant them in the spring, because a lot of those poplars, there's almost not much of a root system there. They're growing out of a little stick and the sucker's coming out of that little stick root. There's not a much fibrous root system. So take as much of that root as you can, but I'd move them in the spring because poplars this time of the year, if there's not going to be much fibrous root system, they're not going to get through the wintertime.
Yeah.
So what I have to do as soon as the frost is out of the ground, so around April the 15th, move them then, you'll have no problem at all.
Okay, perfect. This one's from Bob in Yorkton. Good morning. We have a number of spruce trees that have needles turning yellow and orange in recent weeks. Several of the trees are along the lake. I'm wondering if it's too dry or something else.
Yeah, right now you're going to show if the plant's stressed, you're going to see them turning yellow.
Yeah.
So they're either too wet or too dry. It'll be the same symptom for either process, too wet or too dry. And so, or otherwise, you look also for insects like spider mite. But usually in a bigger tree near the lake, it's either too wet or too dry.
Okay, perfect. And one last one. This is from Corrine in Humboldt. Can I leave canna lily bulbs in the ground if they're right by the house and covered with mulch?
No.
Okay.
I've tried it. It doesn't really work, especially if you get a really hard winter with no snow.
Yeah.
So you're best to dig them up and put them indoors. All your fall bulbs, your dahlias, your canna lilies, your elephant ears, all those type of the summer bulbs, your dahlias, you need to bring them all inside just now. And we're getting close to about the time. If this frost hit them hard, then now is the time you can bring them in.
Perfect. Awesome. Thanks so much, Rick. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too.
Awesome. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyk, and you are listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.